This week's parasha, the parasha of the era, the parasha starts off by the visit of the Malachim, and one of their missions is to inform Avram and Sarah that they're going to have a child. And it says, after these, they look like Arabs, they're really Malachim. They tell Avram, you're going to have a child. Batitzchak Sarah Bekirba. Sarah laughs. A few psukim later, Sarah is taken to task. Kodesh Baruch tells Avram, Lama Zetzach Kod Sarah, why is she laughing? Sounds like she's being taken to task. Hafum Nomei Leva, and he's a Kanti. So, the question is, that why was she taken to task for laughing? It's obvious that she should be laughing. Number one, who gave the bracha? Three people that appear to be Arabs, not necessarily malachim. If a malach gave the bracha, it's one thing. Or if a rav or somebody like that, somebody of stature gave a bracha. But these guys, they had no clue officially. Sarah seemingly had no clue who these people were and what powers they had. They're going to come along and say she's going to have a baby. Number two, she's 90 years old. According to many, she had no rechem, she had no womb. It was physically impossible for her to have a child. Why is she taken to task for laughing? Sounds to be a normal thing. Laughter is a normal thing when you hear something that totally out of this world. So the Ramban, he doesn't ask this question directly. Actually, he does. Why was it so far in her eyes? Why did she laugh? So he gives two answers. Number one, V'ra'uy lo sh'ta'amin. It was fit for her to believe. If you live with Hashem, if you feel Hashem's presence and Hashem's power in this world, there is nothing that sounds outlandish. Nothing. There's nothing that is going to defeat the odds. Nothing. Kadosh Baruch Hu is Almighty. He's Bala Kochos Gedolos, is what we say. Think about when we say Elokeinu. He's Bala Kochos Gedolos. He is the owner, so to speak, of the great powers. Mashgiach HaKol Olam Kulo, and he supervises the entire world. Right? He's Osei Shemayim V'Aretz. He created the entire world. He can do anything. So if you live with that feeling, even if somebody tells you something that naturally seems to be impossible, your knee-jerk reaction should not be to laugh. Your knee-jerk reaction should be to say, wow, okay. Hay Polemash, and that's really what the words of the Pasuk say that. That's what Avraham Avinu says. Hay Polemash, Hashem Devar L'Moed. I think that's Hashem talking. Right? Is this something that Hashem can't do? So, that's number one. A person has to live with the feeling that a Kodesh Baruch Hu can do anything and everything in his personal life, as a nation. And the other answer in the Ramban is, Oshtomer Omen Kenyos Hashem. She should have said Omen. She should have laughed. If it's something that she wanted, to have a child, and somebody said, you're going to have a child, he instantaneously should say, Amen, Kinyas Hashem. So I heard a Maisa that brings home this point that there was a Yerushalmi gentleman who lived in the Meish Arm neighborhood. He davened in the Zichron Moshe Shul. The Rav in the Zichron Moshe Shul was, at the time, Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Fisher, the great Tzaddik, the great Gaon, also had tremendous Kolchos Atzila. He speaks to Rabbi Roblowski about him. He had the exclusive of a tremendous bracha and a skula from him. And this person, for decades and decades, he bought Maftar Yona on Yom Kippur, and his nickname was Maftar Yona. That was his thing. And he told everybody that was his insurance policy. And he was zeicha to have amazing children. They stayed on the derech. He was successful. He was able to put food on the table and so on. And after decades and decades, one Yom Kippur, an American fellow came to daven at shul, and there was a bidding war. And it got really, really expensive, this Maftar Yona, this Chus Maftar Yona. And the Rav, Sir Yaakov Fisher, came over to this person and said, listen, I don't want you to continue bidding to this Yerushalmi fellow, because I know your financial situation, and if you're going to have to match this guy's bid, you're going to have to sell your apartment, and I don't want that to happen. And I'm telling you now, I guarantee that whatever sekulos you have every year from this Maftar Yona, you'll have them anyway. He said, I need an insurance policy. This is my insurance policy. I want to spend the money. He said, I guarantee you, you'll still have the same skula. So, Yom Kippur ends, Sukkot comes, 2 weeks later, the man is nifter. And the Rishon Yaakov Fisher, Zatzal, goes to the family, to Menachem Avo, and the family says to the Rav, Rebbe, you canceled our father's insurance policy. Look what happened. So the Rav turns back to him and says, no, I didn't. I went over to him two more times on Yom Kippur to tell him, I guarantee you, that the same schoolus that you had from after Yonah, you'll have this year anyway. But he didn't say, Amen. He didn't say, Amen, Ken Yasa Hashem. Which is a very powerful story. And there's a whole book about the power of Amen. And it shows you that I think the message certainly is just, first of all, practically speaking, if somebody gives you a bracha, any bracha in the world, say Amen. And Amen stands for Kel Melech Neman, Kodesh Baruch Hu is faithful. You believe in that Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kel Melech Neman. And actually, the language of Amen Ken Yasa Hashem is actually a quote from Yirmiyahu Perichof Ches, Pasuk Vav. Amen Ken Yasa Hashem. Maybe we should even say Amen Ken Yasa Hashem when somebody tells you something. So, Sarah, the taina wasn't that she laughed per se. It was that when somebody gives you any bracha in the world, you say, Amen, Ken Yasa Hashem, Amen. Person tells you, right? Somebody walks up to you and says, Shibzeich, it's a great day of learning. Say, okay, thanks, whatever. Amen, Ken Yasa Hashem. Now we're talking about Amen. I'll just tell you one more story I read recently about Amen. That there was a girl who was very makpid to say, to make a bracha when people are around, so people could say Amen. That's why people, it's very highly commendable to say brachos that loud, so people could say Amen. It's tremendous chus. The famous story of Chaim Volozhiner, who was makbid to always say bracha near people so people could say Amen. And one night he was very thirsty, and he wasn't going to drink, and all of a sudden a student appeared in the middle of the night and asked a question on a sugya. He said, I'm sorry to bother you so late, but I have a question on the sugya. And then he answered the sugya, and they said the bracha, and he said, Amen. And the next morning, he went over to the bracha, and he said, it's okay that you woke me up last night, and, you know, with a question on the sugya. And the bracha had no idea what the Chaim Volozhiner was talking about. It was some sort of Gilu Eliyahu. And from then on, the Chaim Volozhiner was honored this bracha so much, because he said, it must be this bracha is very special, because obviously Eliyahu Navi was decided to go, to come to me to answer Amen through this bracha. He's obviously a very special bracha. But getting back to this story about this girl, apparently she was decided to be makpid about saying a bracha where people around her saying Amen. Nobody was home one afternoon, and she literally for a few hours, even though she was so thirsty, she would not drink until people came home. And then that night, she had a dream that a girl from her class is going to have a refuah shalema because of her. And she told her father about the dream, and her father did research, and nobody had known yet, but this girl had just been diagnosed with being sick. And they redid the tests, and sure enough, the tests came back that she didn't have any illness because of the schus of Amen. So Amen is very, very chashuv, and seemingly when the message is, when somebody gives you a bracha, no matter what it is, you should always say Amen. That's number two. Number three, I just want to do a little bit of chazara of the Gemaras that we learned. I don't remember the exact daf, I'm sure you guys remember better than I, which daf this is talking about. But the Gemara in Shabbos and Chuf Chav Zayin and Aleph tells us, we learn from Avram Avinu that Gedoyla Hachnas Orchim Yerushim Yikavos Pnei Shechina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avram is in the middle of talking to Hashem. Guests come. What does Avram do? He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hold on one second. Let me go and let me talk and let me receive my guests. So the question is, how could that be? How could it be that talking to entertaining guests or hosting guests can be more chashuv than talking to Hashem? We think that the ultimate is connecting to Hashem, talking to Hashem. So I remember understanding this years ago that it says in the pasuk, right? V'lachta b'drachov u'ldav kabo. It goes in the ways of Hashem, and then you cling to HaKadosh Baruch. That's the pasuk. So what does Hashem want? Hashem, what does that mean? V'lachta b'drachov go in Hashem's ways. Mahu rachum afatar rachum. Just like He's merciful, you should be rachum. Merciful. Mahu chanun afatar chanun. You should also be compassionate. So HaKadosh Baruch when He created us, He's not about getting close to Him. That's not the point. The point is to mirror and to go in His ways. And I came up with the following mashal. I think I said it in Shir, because it has to do with the Gemara and Kedusha, where it discusses the Rabbonim who went ahead and they were mocha on their covered by serving people at their son's chasinus. And they brought a raya from Avraham Avinu. And they said, what do you mean? You don't even bring a raya from Avraham Avinu. You bring a raya from HaKadosh Baruch Himself. Right? And He comes along and He makes sure that we're taken care of. So the muscle that I want to say over is if you have a very successful businessman, and I think it's Pasha, I probably said this in Shir, you're a very successful businessman, right? And he has a son. So he has two options for his son. Option number one is that his son should have the office right next to him. They should spend tons of time together. And they'll work together, and he'll be his assistant his whole life, and he'll help him out in his company. That's one of mahalach. But the other mahalach is that the son should be so great and take the lessons of his father and go ahead and start his own company, build his own company, and basically start a company, build a company, and run a company like his father. Now I ask you, what do you think would give the father more nachas? I think it's pasha. That as much as the father would want to spend time with him all day and talk to him, the greater nachas is to see him go in his ways, to act as he does, to follow in his ways, and to be great on his own level, in his own way. And I think that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. He's happy for us to talk to him, be close to him. But his greatest nachas is if we go ahead and we follow his ways. Just like Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of all mankind, if we're supposed to go ahead and we're supposed to take care of all mankind. We're supposed to care about other people, take care of other people. And that gives the Kadosh Baruch Hu the greatest nachas. And that's why, even though it sounds perplexing, how could it be that having guests over is more chashuv than talking to Hashem? This is exactly the point. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to necessarily, he wants us to cling to him. The best way to cling to him is actually to follow in his ways. That's number two. Number three is that this week, a lot of yard sites, and last week in the Shabbat magazine, they had a feature about Rav Nosson Tzvi Zatzal, my Rosh Yeshiva, who I discussed learning his yeshiva and having a pretty decent a relationship with him. The only thing I can feel bad about is that in later years, when I was already out of the yeshiva and I was here in Torah Shraga, Chaval, I didn't want to bother him. I knew his schedule was so busy. In theory, I could have gone there every week with students. And I was busy. I didn't take advantage of those days. But whenever I saw him, I'm pretty sure, I don't know if he knew my name, but based on the stories, it's possible he did. He certainly knew my face. And when I read this story, I thought this is definitely a story that I have to share with you. I think I'm just going to read it verbatim because I probably will not be able to do justice. Rav Nosson Tzvi was known to make mivtza'im. We have a lot of mivtza'im, a lot of campaigns. He's very into campaigns. And in 1997, towards the end of the winter's man, he came up with the following campaign. This is a known thing. He said he made a list of students who are joining the 12-hour learning group. 12 hours. It's going to be a 12-hour group. He's very intense. Mother, 12 hours. He had a special way of demanding something difficult, yet making the proposal sound pleasant nonetheless. He didn't stop smiling as he explained that he really wasn't asking that for that much. Just the Talmidim use every second of regular Siddharim, of their regular Siddharim, and a little bit more. I should choose every second of Siddharim, because the Siddharim are morning and afternoon, say, just like 4 hours each. Then you give the night center for another 4 hours, you get your 12 hours. He made it clear that he expected the good Bachrams to sign up for this Kabbalah, adding their names to a long list that had been hung up specifically for this purpose, and which he himself would be monitoring. It was the first Friday after the Rosh Yeshiva's announcement. The energy and spirit were felt in every corner of the Yeshiva, with Bachrams sitting in their places and learning, no chatting, no airing out, from 9 in the morning until midnight the entire week, with only the necessary breaks. Now, Erev Shabbos, the Rosh Yeshiva gave a shmooze in his house, in Hebrew before Mincha, and then in English after Mincha. And I had this course of going, when I was there, and sitting at his table. It was an unbelievable experience. It wasn't necessarily a long thing, and also oftentimes he couldn't speak that much. I used to have tapes, if I have it somewhere, but it was just to sit there. You just felt like you're sitting in the room. You're sitting with Godless. The usual crowd filled the Rosh Yeshiva's dining room for the weekly Erev Shabbos shmooze. And after Nosson Tzvi was done, the Bachrim filed by to wish him a good Shabbos. This was a special moment, week after week, for the attendees. A cherished personal moment for each Talmud. The Rosh Yeshiva stopped a particular Talmud, a Bachar, I personally knew well. This is being written by Yisrael Besser, who I happen to remember from Yeshiva. I didn't see your name on that list, the Rosh Yeshiva said. The Bachar was stunned. He wasn't the type. 12 hours wasn't in his stretch zone. Full Siddharim were enough of a challenge. He laughed, hoping that the Rosh Yeshiva would let him move on. I can just imagine the Rosh Yeshiva saying this, I want you to join, in his sweet, quiet voice. I want you to join, said the Rosh Yeshiva. His face suddenly very serious. I can't. Don't worry, there are enough other Bachrim doing it. The Rosh Yeshiva didn't let go. Do you have a pen? Let's do it. I can just imagine the Rosh Yeshiva with a smile, taking the pen out, giving it to him, encouraging him to do it. And so he signed. This boy signed up for 12 hours a day, even though he never thought in the wildest dreams he could do it. The Talmud, with no recourse, pushed himself through one Seder, than another. At the end of the first day, he tasted exhaustion unlike anything he'd ever experienced. The next day was a test of endurance as he fought on, determined to honor his pledge. A few days in, he came to his dira, at the end of a long day, feeling the thrill and fatigue overtake him at once, and he fell into a deep sleep. His dreams carried with them hints and echoes of the words he'd spoken throughout the preceding day. Rashi Shita, Reb Nachum's Diuk, he awoke in the morning suffused with an extraordinary joy and could barely contain himself through chakras. As soon as davening was over, he went over to the Rosh Yeshiva. Rebbe, I dreamed in learning. Reb Nachum smiled a knowing smile and rose to his feet. He reached for the hands of his Talmud and together they started to dance. It's an amazing, amazing thing. Reb Nachum believed in every Talmud. We believe in every Talmud, and you have to believe in yourself. The sky is the limit. Our days in yeshiva are, whether it's January, or whether it's Pesach, whether it's another year, whatever it is, eventually, these are the golden days. We believe in you. Take it to the max. I'm not saying we're going to start a miftzav 12 hours a day, but whatever you think is your maximum, push a little bit more. Push a little more. Not for your whole life. I mean, if you push yourself to the max these weeks, these months, it'll have a hashpah on you for the rest of your life. Even if you won't have the time, it'll stay with you. Whether it's in Seder, working harder to making sure you understand every part of the Gemara, and so on and so forth. We believe in you. And thus, since we believe in everybody, HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes in you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shriva Sitziyat Nishmaya to really inspire ourselves every single day. And go Mechayel Chayel. And see the Gula Shem Rehemeinu. Have a good Shabbos.